So another famous product of McNeil is, of course, the Budesol. Perhaps you could talk a little bit about that, how that came about.
Well, in the 30s, the sedative of choice was the barbiturate. There was a product called secobarbital, or trade name Secanol, that was a fast-acting product and used as a hypnotic, and another product called phenobarbital with a phenol attached to the barbiturate that was a long-acting product and was used in epilepsy and is today, and for those that required heavy sedation. McNeil Laboratories was not offering a straight barbital specially, but it occurred to my father that the manufacturers of barbiturates might have other compounds which could be explored and used by McNeil, and in 1938 he had obtained from Abbott Laboratories a compound called butabarbital sodium. It was in the list when the 1938 Act was passed and therefore grandfathered as a new drug, but it its dosage was not too certain. However, we did get some excellent reports of its use as a sedative for overnight and for long-time sedation. However, that wasn't good enough for me to understand the properties, so that after I studied it a while, I prevailed upon the group at McNeil to undertake some studies of its metabolism. And therefore, we, in 1942, convinced Charles Gruber of the Department of Pharmacology of Jefferson University, and convinced Charles Gruber to undertake studies determining its metabolism and effect. Obviously, we wanted to differentiate the therapeutic use of Budesol with the fast-acting secobarbital and the long-acting phenobarbital.
Can I ask you, is this how you came across Ernst Fallweiler? Is his name Ernst Fallweiler, the guy at Abbott? Fallweiler?
We're off the record.
Okay, and I can ask you. Is that how you came across Ernst Fallweiler, the famous Abbott guy?
My father knew Fallweiler, but he also knew Floyd Thayer, who was in charge of making the chemical secobarbital for Abbott Laboratory. And he inquired whether or not Abbott would have other chemical compounds, and the agreement was that if we found one of them active, we would buy our chemical from them.
Oh, okay, so they already had products, so they weren't interested in developing another one to rival their own, so they were...
They had a chemical plant, and their chemists had isolated a lot of different compounds, but they, well, didn't feel they could market all of them,
right,
because of the competition with their then leading products, Secobarbital or Secanol.
Mm-hmm. So there you are, and your research department was basically a temple, that you didn't have that kind of facility yet at McNeil. Is that correct or not?
Well, at that point, we had no pharmacology laboratories, we had no research department, we had no one that could do it. All of our work was farmed out to institutions, which wasn't all bad in the sense that we got first-rate counselors. At the same time, I developed a group of extraordinary medically trained people to test out the product and who could offer advice. And they became a medical advisory group that was used over the years. I did, however, start employing pharmaceutical chemists to make compounds that could be tested for potency and for activity over a period of time. We would accelerate the aging of a product, mm-hmm, by boiling and or trying to get a breakdown to determine its therapeutic efficacy after
shelf life.
There are many ways in which you can do that in early stage. So I then started developing a department, and that department was charged, of course, with the responsibility of using the technical information for sales use and providing the salesman with the best advice we could give them, and in essence developed index cards or data which they could develop into a detailed talk or a talk with a dispensing physician, direct sale.
So there we are in the middle of World War II. Or did I short the Butasol story?
The extraordinary part of Butasol was cooperation I received from Gruber, in as much as he was also interested in learning about the drug, equally interested in learning about the drug.
That Gruber, I think.
Yes.
The importance of the letter that you have to Professor Gruber at Temple.
Well, this letter is very significant because it outlines our thinking, what we needed, and what we hope we could obtain through a discussion with Dr. Gruber based on his report in the July 1944 issue of the Journal of Pharmacology and Experimental Therapeutics, and his own observations. Therefore, prepared ahead of time a whole series of questions relating to the metabolism and effectiveness of the drug as indicated on animals. This was done in view of the voluminous number, the voluminous amount, let's say, of questions. Essentially, what we wanted to do was to classify the data and the use of the drug based on the pharmacologic properties. But we also wanted to establish the toxicity, which would help to differentiate it from the other barbiturate derivatives, some of which, as I explained, were fast-acting and some of them were much longer-acting. Therefore, we gathered, we being the two of us, gathered and had a lengthy discussion of the animal activity and its therapeutic evaluation, the promptness of action, the duration, the cessation of action, measured by the destruction and the of the drug, and the any possible untoward effects such as excitation, or if it was there, and also the lasting, the long-lasting effect, the so-called hangover effect that many barbiturates produce. This is, of course, typical of what you have today in your label statement, indicating sometimes hours afterwards drowsiness may occur, and so forth and so forth. Or so, but that, you see, this is the basic beginning of studies that led to determining, of course, clinically, you don't get much volume selling animals, but clinically, how a person is going to react till you prepare the physician, and therefore it's better therapy and he has more confidence in your product if he has his complete story. So this is a period where the pharmacologic evaluation, you see, led to good therapeutics.
Yeah, was butasol, it's no longer sold, right?
It's being sold now by Johnson & Johnson sold it, and it is available chemically. It was McNeil's largest product for 20 years in various forms.
Well, you may recall some of my much earlier conversations with you. I was concerned about telling that story because in my mind, barbiturates spells habit forming.
That was a requirement that the FDA made for all barbiturates. But do they do it now with Halcyon or some of the others? It's so difficult to determine that they no longer apply that designation. But the significance of butasol was that it was longer acting than the fast acting cyclobarbital, but shorter acting than phenobarbital, but it was metabolized by the body, and therefore it had the distinct advantage of being safer. Mm-hmm. And therefore the key to our promotion was a safer daytime sedative. It was ideal for mild continuous action. And therefore, over a period of years, the therapeutic use justified its place, and it became the number one brand barbiturate based on that. And that was the distinction. So therefore, what I'm saying is that it was the pharmacologic evaluation that led to this product, and the fact that it had the action in this one niche, mm-hmm. marketing niche, and that was daytime sedation. We didn't sell it, you see, as a hypnotic. Our competition was Zecalbarbital. I told the boy, no, we just sell it in the niche. And we developed it in a form which was different. And that form was an elixir form, which was low alcohol, but it had solvents so that the barbiturate was in solution and didn't hydrolyze. Because chemically in water, it will hydrolyze. And that was a secret combination with one particular essential oil, and we had that one brand, and we refused to accept others for a combination of taste so it would be uniform, but also we didn't want contamination or anything which might influence the therapeutic activity. Mm-hmm. And that's why they were very demanding, and that's why many of the others are so demanding about what they do, that it's identical.
Right.
Batch to batch. So that the significance here was a product that was found as active as any product then for its use, but safer. And in a form which made it useful. And that was the basis upon which its popularity grew and grew. Doctors had confidence in it and would prescribe it as a mild daytime sedative.
I think we should cut it off here. I think it would be a good place. Then when you come back, we can do a little bit about World War II and Tylenol, jump into Tylenol.
I assume you didn't want to get into more technical studies of Google, did you?